Now, for this Easter Sunday morning, as with Palm Sunday and Good Friday, I don't want us to consider the classic texts, but events that took place before Easter, but they are a foreshadowing of what's happening and what we're celebrating today at Easter Sunday. And the first reading we had was of a funeral in a place called Nain. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. In Welsh, we call it Nain. And we also call grandmothers Nain in North Wales. And Nain was a village about 6 miles southeast of Nazareth in the hills there. And something quite amazing happened during this funeral. Now, I've lost count of the number of funerals since lockdown. And even in the last few weeks, we've had one funeral after another. And then there's another funeral coming after Easter. But none of our funerals were quite like this funeral, because this funeral was cancelled. Have you ever been to a funeral that was cancelled? Wonderful, isn't it? The person that was dead is brought back to life. So there's no need then for a committal. Imagine if that was to happen in one of our funerals. I think all of Cardiff would get to hear of it. But this is what happened in this funeral in Nain. And for this reason, it's a wonderful foreshadowing of what Easter Sunday is all about and what's going to happen one day to all who believe in Jesus Christ. So even though we're looking at a funeral this morning, it's not like the funeral of an unbeliever. I always find funerals of unbelievers to be most depressing. There is just no notes of hope there. Whereas a Christian funeral, even though there is grieving and there would be something unnatural for there not to be mourning, there is a difference, isn't there? There is that note of victory. And I would even say some of the funerals we've had recently haven't felt like funerals at all. They felt more like wedding celebrations. And I want us to look at this little funeral, well, I call it little, but it was quite crowded in the reading, that happened in Nain. Now, my first point, and this is an important one, this world is a vale of tears, right? Now, don't worry, I'm not going to leave you depressed. It is Easter Sunday, but we must start by stating a very important truth. Sooner or later, you realize that in spite of all the good things of life, and there are blessings, God showers his good gifts upon us, this world is a vale of tears. As the Old Testament says, in the midst of life, we are in death. Now, this is not a Welsh preacher becoming all morbid. It's just the fact, isn't it, that we are all part of this procession. Come with me, as Nathan would say, to Nain. And as Jesus and his disciples are walking towards the village, they see a procession coming out of the gates of the village. In Judaism, a person would be buried on the day that they died. So this boy had just died, and he's going to be buried, and there's a procession coming out of the gates. And it's a very sad procession, because it's only his mother that is left of the family. The father of the boy would have died earlier if this woman was a widow. And we really feel for this poor woman, don't we? The widow of Nain, as she's called. Because, again, in Bible times, if you had no son, then there was no heir. There was no more remembrance of you. It was a very big thing in Jewish circles to have a lineage, to belong. And now that lineage was going to be broken because the son was dead. And they didn't have a welfare state, so this poor widow was going to be unprovided for. So there's something very pathetic in the old sense of the word about this procession. This poor woman, she would have walked this road before when her husband was buried. She's now leading the way, and it's her son. To lose a child, I don't know what it's like, is a terrible thing. And this woman was in such a state. It was an open coffin, as they have in some parts of the world. There's a large crowd following behind. Now listen, we, when we're born into this world, we're part of that procession. It's the procession of death. As soon as we take our first breath, the clock is already ticking. And one day, we're going to take our last breath. We don't know how long it's going to take. Some people go on to live for a very long time, but in the end, they still have to die. Our oldest member is 102. And even today, people die young, don't they? And it's a shock when it happens. So this is why this message is so important to every one of us here this morning. When we're born into this world, and as we live in this world, we're all part of the procession of death. And as you're getting older, it becomes more obvious, doesn't it? Because you go to the funeral of people who were your friends. And I don't know if there's somebody here this morning who feels that they might be the only one left. If it's all right for me to say this, for Sylvia Denton's funeral, she'd asked a number of pastors to take her service, and they'd all pre-deceased her. And so I was at the bottom of the list then, because I was still alive. Now, it must be quite poignant as you're getting older. Now, there are people in their 90s here this morning that most of your friends have gone. This procession of death. And we don't want to be hard, do we? Jesus wasn't hard. Never think of Jesus Christ as a harsh taskmaster. Listen to the reading. Jesus, seeing this procession, he went up to this poor widow. And you know what he did? He had compassion on her. He had compassion on her. Here is the man of sorrows, as we were hearing on Good Friday. A man of sorrows acquainted with grief. We're not told of Jesus laughing. I'm sure he would have laughed because he was a normal human being. But we're told of Jesus weeping several times. Are you in this procession of death, weeping at this moment and not knowing where to turn? Let me tell you, here is a Savior who understands, who can empathize with you in your weaknesses and in your grief. And when the church is what she should be, she is also a compassionate church. We had a good question in the pastor's question and answer session last Sunday. Somebody asked a question, and it was along these lines that I answered, that we don't have the answers in a glib way. And especially when we are visiting people who are bereaved, we don't just go to them and parrot fashion quote verses from the Bible. We just want to show that we are with them, you know? So this is my first point. No hope here. This world is a veil of tears. We're all by nature in this procession of death. Are you ready to die? Am I ready to die? What I fear as a pastor is becoming a professional in taking funerals. After taking hundreds of funerals, it's easy to get into the mindset, I'm just doing this again. We will all have to die. But let me move on. I don't want to stop there. I want us to finish rejoicing. There is something else that happens here. Here is this procession coming out of the village of Nain, the procession of death. But this is the good news. There is another procession coming. It's coming in the opposite direction. And this is Jesus, and not just his disciples, but we're told that there was a large crowd with him. So there are two processions, the procession of death coming out of the village, and then there is the procession, and I'm going to call it the procession of life. This is Easter Sunday. The procession of death is led by this poor widow who has no hope. The procession of life is led by the Prince of Life, Jesus Christ. The procession of death has an only son, and he's dead. The procession of life has an only son, the Father's only begotten son. Jesus Christ was a real man, as I said, but he wasn't just a real man. He is God, the God-man, two natures, one person. The procession of death is full of suffering. The procession of life is headed not just by the Prince of Life, but as I've said, by the Man of Sorrows. And who's going to win? The procession of death is named after the last enemy. That's what the Bible calls death, the last enemy. It came out clearly, didn't it, in the video? The last enemy. Whatever enemies you may have faced in life, the last enemy, and no one has been able to conquer this one, is going to be death. Well, one man conquered it, as we'll hear. And the procession of life is led by King Jesus. Who's going to win? These two processions are going to meet. Nobody has been able to conquer death. If you're an atheist this morning, I don't know how you can carry on as you are, because death is real, and no system has been able to deal with it. Maybe we can prolong people's lives, but what's living to 80 or 90 in comparison to eternity, forever? Now, listen to the good news this morning. Just for this one reason, Jesus Christ has done something that no one else has been able to do. He's been able to deal with death. Please don't take this the wrong way, but even though taking funerals is exhausting, it's energizing as well. Can you understand that? Because I don't know of any job. I know I may have put you off, Nathan, wherever you are, last Sunday evening in the question and answer, when somebody asked the question, what advice I'd give to Nathan entering the ministry, I basically said, run to the hills. If God hasn't called you, even though it's not an easy job, I know of no job in the world that enables you to stand before the last enemy, before an open grave. And I know these words off by heart now, because I enjoy saying them so much. Death, you've been swallowed up in victory. O death, it's personified. Where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Whatever job you may have, even if you have a job that pays you much more than a minister of the gospel, you're never going to be able to say that to the last enemy. Don't you want a Jesus who has conquered death? I would want that if I were in your shoes. Now then, what I want to ask this morning is, how does he do it? Think of the picture. Death is swallowed up, right? Now, just in our church, death has swallowed so many of our people. Think of the multitudes that death has swallowed over the centuries, over the thousands of years. And yet here we have one man swallowing death. It doesn't make sense, does it? But listen, if Jesus is God, he can swallow anything. Now, how does he do it? Well, come with me to what he does. He doesn't just have compassion on the widow. Now, that's something we can do. We can draw alongside a person. We can be there for them. But we can't do any more than that. With the best will in the world, we can't go further than showing compassion. But Jesus Christ, he doesn't just show compassion. He can actually conquer the last enemy. How does he do it? Well, we're told something which doesn't sound much to us, but for the people in Jesus' day, it was shocking. He came, verse 14, and touched the open coffin. Why am I emphasizing that? What's so shocking about touching an open coffin? Well, for the Jews, a dead body and the coffin that it was in was unclean, ceremoniously unclean. If a person touched a corpse, they were defiled according to the law of Moses, and they had to set themselves apart for a time, and then they had to go to the priest in order to be cleansed. Can you get this? How does Jesus Christ conquer death? He conquers death by becoming unclean. Now, if you realize who Jesus is the perfect Son of God. He's the spotless man, the only perfect human being to have ever walked this earth. And this is how he goes into battle with death and defeats it. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Why is there death? We know the answer. It's because of this spiritual disease called sin. The soul that sinneth shall die. How can death be dealt with unless sin is dealt with? And this is what Jesus Christ does. The number of times in the Gospels he touches unclean things. He touches a leper, not just from compassion, but he is, as it were, having that leprosy, that spiritual leprosy, transferred onto him. It's a wonderful picture of what happened on Good Friday. And so this is why there is an empty tomb, which is the most potent symbol of death defeated. It's because of the cross a few days before. It was by hanging on the cross that Jesus dealt with death. As John Owen put it, the death of death in the death of Christ. The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. How he took our sins. There's a hymn which puts it so beautifully. He took our sins and our sorrows, all the tears, and made them his very own. He carried that burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Hallelujah, what a saviour. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned, he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. Is there a hallelujah in your heart this morning? We don't say hallelujahs out loud, do we? We should. Thank you, Peter. Hallelujah. What a saviour. Have you noticed something about the hymns we're singing this morning? They're full of hallelujah. We're starting today with Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. We're going to finish today, this evening, with hallelujah. It's only a person who has been forgiven, whose sins have been blotted out, who has a hope in the face of the last enemy, who's able to say hallelujah. Leonard Cohen was wrong. It's not a cold thing to say hallelujah. You can say hallelujah in your tears. It's a broken thing, but it's never cold. Never. When I came to this church, I used this illustration to show a person who understood the gospel. You don't have to have a degree, right, in theology to understand the gospel. Nothing wrong with that, but you don't have to have that. A Caribbean lady whose first language wasn't English, she understood the gospel, and all she said was, "He died, me, no more die." Hallelujah. The great exchange, as John Calvin put it. Jesus on the cross defeated death. He's the death defeater. I like that title. It's one of my favorite titles to describe our Lord, the death defeater, because he took our sins upon himself. He took our place. So, who wins? The procession of death, the procession of life. Listen, death is swallowed up by King Jesus. And what happens when you become a Christian? You change places. You were in the procession of death. What is the description of life in this world? We are born and we go from life to death, the procession of death. But the moment we are in touch with Jesus Christ, our sins have been dealt with, even though we will have to die one day unless he comes back before then, we are not going to eternal death, we're going to live forever. And so our new status is from death unto life. From death unto life. We're transported from the procession of death into the procession of life. And you know, it happens in an instant. The vilest offender, do you feel yourself to be vile? It's an old word for feeling unclean. The vilest sinner who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. So can I ask you, which procession are you in? Are you still in the procession of death? Or have you been transported by faith in Jesus Christ to the procession of life? We're in this wonderful procession. Now, let me just give you one more point before I finish. There is a word that Jesus speaks. He said, he touches the coffin, a picture of how he takes our sin upon himself. That's how we can conquer death. And then he just has to say the word, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And wonder of wonders, he who was dead sat up and began to speak. That's not supposed to happen. But we're dealing with Jesus Christ here, and he is a miracle-working savior. And this is one of the greatest miracles that he ever did. I don't think his disciples expected this to happen. Yes, he can turn water into wine. Yes, he can heal a leper. But to deal with death, I don't think so. But he shows here that he has absolute power. And you know what they were reminded of? Fear came upon all of them. And they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen up among us." Do you know why they said that? You need to know the location of Nain. Nain was on the hill of Moreh. And on the other side of the hill of Moreh was another village. I can't remember the name now, sorry. And 800 years before this, a man called Elisha had brought back to life a boy only the other side of the hill. He was the prophet, Elisha, and Elijah had done something similar, but it's Elisha who did it nearby. And so these people were being reminded of what Elisha did. But those of you who know the account of Elisha will realize that Elisha had to pray to God to do it. Elisha had to plead before God to bring the dead child back to life. Jesus doesn't do any of that. He just says, rise up, rise up. This is not just a prophet. This is the prophet. Do you know what encourages me this morning? Jesus is only to say the word, and a person who's dead is brought back to life. I love Spurgeon's words here. This is a long quote, but I will read it. This was a rehearsal upon a small scale of that which will happen by and by when those who are in their graves shall hear the voice of the Son of God and live. Then the last enemy shall be utterly destroyed. Only let death come into contact with him who is our life, and it is compelled to relax its hold, whatever may be the spoil which it has captured. Soon shall our Lord come back in his glory, and then before not the gates of Nain, but before the gates of the New Jerusalem, we shall see the miracle at the gates of Nain multiplied again and again. This miracle will be performed at Cardiff Gates. That's close enough to Thornhill, isn't it? The voice that spoke to the young boy in Nain, arise, get up, will speak at Thornhill Cemetery, and all the graves will give up their dead, and those who've been cremated as well, because Jesus is speaking the word. What a day that will be. And we know what the procession is going to be like on that day, because there's a song that's used, isn't there? Oh, when the saints come marching in, will you be among their number? We will sing that one day. Oh, when the saints come marching in, will you be among their number? Jesus is speaking today. His word can raise you who are spiritually dead to life. It's not my reasoning with you that will make you a Christian. I'm so relieved about that, because if I reason you into the kingdom, somebody who's more intelligent than me will be able to reason you out of the kingdom. I'm surrounded by two doctors. Our two assistants are doctors. Nothing wrong with that. But the fact that they're doctors won't make you a Christian. It's Dr. Jesus who will heal you. And all we are doing is speaking the word of Jesus. I was told once the most powerful open-air message that somebody heard in Cardiff was a preacher, and all this preacher did was quote a verse. And I think the verse was, it is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And there was power in that, because it's God's word. So can I close by saying to you, whoever you are this morning, if you're still not in Christ, believe and you shall be saved. That's not me. That's the word of Jesus Christ. All who believe in the Son, do you know what it says? Shall have everlasting life. What's stopping you? You say, I can't believe. What's that got to do with it? Jesus is commanding you to get up, metaphorically, and believe. There's power in the command of Jesus Christ. Now, if I was trying to tell you to do that, of course you wouldn't be able even to lift up your little finger. But it's Jesus Christ who's saying that. And the moment you're in touch with Jesus, you will be transported from the procession of death into the procession of life. It's as marked as this. You can come into church on your way to hell, and you can leave the church on your way to heaven. I don't know of anything that's more amazing than that. And if you are a believer, we're a motley bunch, aren't we? Do people looking at us see those who belong to the procession of life? Or do we give the impression that we're still in the procession of death? I don't want Heath Church to become like the Presbyterian chapel I was brought up in. There is life for a look at the crucified one. We're alive in Jesus Christ. And we've got a message of life to hold to the people of Cardiff. May this church be a place where people are made alive. And even if that means we have problems of the nursery, I'd rather the problems of the nursery than the problems of the cemetery. Wouldn't you? For his name's sake. Now then, let's sing together another hymn. And yes, there's a hallelujah in this as well. Even eternal hallelujahs. I serve a risen Saviour. He's in the world today. If you're in the procession of life, you will know how to sing this. Number 39 in the supplements.
Is a Savior, he's in
Lord, we praise thee for living in our little hearts, that there's resurrection power at work. And Lord, even if this world is causing us to grow weary, we will never despair. And even if we have to shed tears, we will never grieve as those without hope, because he lives and he walks with me and talks with me. He's real. And Father, we long that everyone in this building, from the youngest to the oldest, would know Jesus Christ in such a way. We just praise thee. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And now may the grace of Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.